Hello, Cinema Attackers. Welcome to episode 55 of Cinema Attack. That is right. I'm the host with the most, Derek. And as always, I'm joined by my two comrades of arms of video game actionists. First up, we have the man, the myth, the legend, the creature feature teacher, Matt. What's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on, man?
You know, we're about to talk about some monsters.
Monsters and video games, all right.
And then the blue hedgehog later, you know, it's good with that. And of course, we have, the Jim Carrey impersonator himself, Dougie Doubles. What's going on, man?
Sup, y'all? I don't have a Jim Carrey impression, so I don't know.
You do a good meat wad, though. Why don't you do that for us right now?
Well, fuck the dolls.
And of course, without further ado, making her Cinema Attack debut, finally, you probably heard me talk to this individual before. She is my co-host of They're Here podcast. I did it exactly like we do it on the show. And of course, she is the brainchild behind the Slumber Party Massacre podcast, and she is the co-host of Cut to the Chase. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to you Miss Lacey Liu. Lacey, what's going on?
I'm here.
Hello.
Hi. Podcast. Thank you guys for finally having me on. I've been asking Derek for like a year now, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm a bad. You know, I try to figure out what a perfect show is for an individual. And knowing Lacey's opinions on certain movies, I thought this would be a great show to have her on, just in general, because she looks at movies very differently than a lot of people. Like, when I hear her on other shows, and she's like, fuck that bitch, fuck this movie, you know, so pick out like an individual and be like, fuck this movie, because this fucking bitch is in it, you know? You know, I like that aspect of it. No, it's not like a cookie cutter review where, you know, I try to do the same thing. Like, I know a lot of people have a lot of issues when I say that I love a movie still, but I still have problems with it. Like, for example, I got into some kind of, not with any of you guys per se, but usually my aspect and my views of Godzilla versus Kong in general, where I love the movie. It's a big, dumb movie, though. There are certain aspects of the movie which I wish were better, but the monster action is the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. I won't argue with that. It's just dumb. It's like late show a dumb, though. You know what I mean? So I can enjoy those type of movies for that thing. It's just when you have it in like a universe where characters are interconnected, some of that shit kind of fucking lost me in translation when, you know, because these are all supposed to be interconnected movies in that sense, where I was just thinking, okay, this character's supposed to be related to one of the biggest characters of the franchise, and you're not going to fucking do anything with him? But I'm going to save my thoughts for that when we actually might cover that. Matt, I know you saw it, and I know you enjoyed it for that, because it's a big, dumb movie, and you loved it.
It is.
You know, and we can.
There were some things
they
did not need to add, but still.
Yeah.
Still awesome.
Yeah, it's visually, like, it does things right in the MonsterVerse that a lot of the other MonsterVerse films didn't do right, but it does a lot of things wrong, in my opinion, too. But it's still fun. It's still a fun popcorn movie if you just shut your brain off and enjoy it and don't look at it. Like, I watched it with my sister, and I enjoyed it more then, but when I was watching it by myself, I was like, because I had like the, you know, when I watch movies by myself, I had like that podcaster's mind and shit where I'm like, Sarazawa, fuck you. You know, I know Lacey hasn't seen it yet. And, you know, she's kind of like me where I know she has a different opinion on King of the Monsters than I did. But, you know, I went into it with knowing that it was going to be like, this movie's going to be done with its plot, but it's going to build on nostalgia in that sense, too. Where if you don't have that nostalgia, you might not enjoy it as much.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get why people like it. It's just not, you know, my genre of types of films that I personally enjoy. I did pay to go see it, though, so there's that.
Yeah, there you go. You know.
I mean, it still got my money.
And you know support. What?
Yeah, I signed up for HBO Max for it.
Oh, well, I haven't watched the new one, Godzilla vs. Kong, but I'm a little bit more excited for this one than I was. Was it Monsters or
King of the Monsters?
Yeah, I just did not enjoy that film, like, at all. It started off okay, and then it slowly, like, loses me as it progresses. I'm like, okay. But this one, I'm a big fan of, like, any type of ape films. Like, Planet of the Apes is, like, my shit. So, and Godzilla kind of, not Godzilla, but Kong, like, symbolizes that for me. So I'm definitely rooting for Kong.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it for me, because I don't know who won.
I won't.
But you said there is a clear winner?
There is.
Right on.
There is.
Well...
Dan says he thinks it's going to end like Freddy versus Jason.
Well, for the initial fight, there is a clear window, but there's something else that happens after that clear winner wins. That's all I'll give away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's about it. I won't spoil too much for you, Lacey.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, because I'm probably not going to necessarily... Who knows? I might like it. You never know. Like, I hated It Chapter 1, but I liked It Chapter 2, so I'm an enigma.
Yeah, you know, it's
that's how it movies. You never know. Well, some people can say, oh, I love this movie constantly, and then you watch it, and you're like, this movie's shit. And then all of a sudden, it's reversed. Like, I hate this movie, and everyone's like, oh, I love it. I'm like, well, that's opinion.
for sure. You know, we're more clear. We're okay with opinions, and I feel like later on, we might have different opinions on a certain movie on this show. But we'll get to that when we get to it. How's everyone's week's been going on? I know Lacey's been busy with Slumber Party. How's that going? I know I'm kind of left a voice message on the next episode, which I think you guys have to actually finish. Because I remember behind the scenes you were doing like a live stream and stuff.
Rebecca's internet went out during the middle of recording, so in the midst of Pillow Fight, which this segment we're doing, our top 10 final guys.
Oh, cool.
We gave Ash the Ripley Award because we knew he would probably win. There's not, like, really any debate of any of these other final guys that would come even close to him. So, and that's kind of what we should have did for Ripley. We didn't end up doing that for her, but now we have this thing called the Ripley Award. So we awarded that to Ash. So there's a little spoiler for you there. So we have a completely different top 10 list of guys. We were just, like, getting into the thick of it because how the pairings matched up, it was actually kind of a little bit lame because it was, like, clear-cut winners of who was getting matched up and being drawn out of the hat. So now we're down to the final five, and that's where it's going to, like, get into the thick of it of who's more deserving.
Yeah.
Will looks play a factor in any of those votes?
That what?
Will looks play a factor in any of those votes?
No, actually. Basing it off of, like, wit, how much they outsmarted, how much danger they were in, things like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if it looks of a department, Bruce Campbell would definitely be my number one because he's just shirtless. He's a badass. He fucking saws
he's
off
shirtless.
His own, yeah, he's a badass. He just fucking saws off his own hand, you know?
Except in part one, he wasn't so much of a badass.
It was a different character of Ash in that one for sure.
He's hanging out on the couch, watching it go down.
My favorite scene with him is when he looks out when they're going over the bridge and he looks out the fucking car window. And he's like, oh! He's such a bitch, and then he just gets bitch slapped and thrown through a bookcase. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we still have to finish that, and then we have to do our feature review on the house on Sorority Row, which was a first-time watch for me.
Nice. I know we talked off here about that, and, you know, for my thoughts on that movie, it has one of my favorite kind of endings of a slasher that involves a creepy clown costume. Yeah, I love that ending for that reason alone. You know, the first time I ever seen that was when I was 8 years old, and that fucking terrified me. It was just that scene. I didn't know what movie it was from for the longest time. And then I was like, oh, shit.
So it's so random.
Yeah, it's so
you didn't
good.
Expect a clown at all. You expect something else, and then they change the costume along through the movie. It's weird.
Yeah.
I kind of like it, though, because it reminded me kind of like Terror Train in that sense where, you know, the killer changes costumes periodically through the movie, which I kind of like that movie for that reason, because you don't know who the killer could be mm-hmm. at any time.
Well, I had seen Sorority Row, like, quite a bit. Like, I went and seen that one in theater, and I didn't even know that this was, like, a remake of it, basically. I thought it was going to kind of have, like, the same formula, and, like, maybe kind of with, like, the same prank.
Yeah,
and I don't want to,
yeah.
like, give too much of my review away, but that was the most extra fucking prank I have ever seen in a film.
I actually like the Sorority Row remake, because it's its own movie. It doesn't try to copy.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I love the weapon that they had. That
the tire iron?
Tire iron thing with the hook on it. Like, that's pretty cool.
So you think it improved from the cane?
Yes. Definitely improved from the cane.
It's a different type of movie, though. You know, it's totally different in that sense. Where I like the cane still, but, you know, it's whatever. You know, you get a head through a toilet bowl, that kills fucking possible. You know, that reveals fucking... awesome, my opinion. But, yeah, I'm glad that show's finally off, because I remember, like, when we started They're Here, the first episode, that we were talking about that, your idea for that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's good stuff. I'm glad that it's happening. I know you guys are doing, like, Hitchcock and stuff on Cut to the Chase. You got a few episodes of that coming out soon, right?
Yeah, we lost one audio for North by Northwest, so we're not even going to attempt to re-record it. But we do have Rope, and that will be coming out. And then we're just going to kind of focus on some things that we want to, you know, maybe hopefully newer stuff is coming out. So maybe focus on some of the newer releases, because we haven't been able to do those in quite a while. Like, a lot of the times with Cut to the Chase, we do a lot of the, you know, the ones that hit theaters.
Yeah.
It seems like we're going to be getting a few of those now, so we're... excited to record some of the new theater releases that are coming out.
Yeah, for sure. You know, last year was fucking tough for all of us. You know, we didn't even do a top 10 show last year. That's how fucking bad it was, because honestly, I wasn't watching a lot of new movies that came. Well, I did, but I didn't. It was mostly horror, though. And, you know, for our show, which I know your show also does, you like to do a top 10 of, like, all genres. You like to, you know, in that sense, where I didn't get to watch a lot of non-horror last year, so I was like, you know, I could have did a top 10 horror list, but then it was fucking hard, because, you know, I don't know. The thing with, like, my show, too, is, like, I get to say if there's, like, a movie that comes out and they're like, it's not fucking horror, you know, it's like one of those fucking things. Our show, it doesn't matter if it's not horror, you know?
What was your number ones from last year for just strictly horror?
For horror, mine, from what memory, I really love this movie that, I don't think anybody's seen it from our group yet, but there was a movie that came out from South Korea called Zombie for Sale. It's like a zomcom that kind of has, like, mixtures of, like, Train to Busan. There's actually a self-referential scene where the family actually watches Train to Busan to get to know what a zombie is. It's kind of funny. In that sense, and the zombie's addicted to eating cabbage. And it's kind of funny and cute, because it revolves around, like, this shitbag family that's, like, they're just goofy, and they are fucking unlucky as all hell, but they're funny. It's very funny in that sense. That was probably my number one, like, horror film. It was more like a horror comedy, per se. For straight horror, I really enjoyed a movie that... a lot of people did not like, and that was The Beach House. I really enjoyed that one, too.
Ah, someone who actually else likes The Beach House. I like that one, too.
I thought it was a decent little film.
Yeah, it was, you know, very Lovecraftian. You know, I kind of liked that it was contained. You know, if it was kind of more expanded, I probably would have got a little bit more annoyed with it, per se. You know, I liked that it was all, like, revolving around, like, this one area instead of, like, you know, a city of thousands of fucking people, you know. I thought it was pretty good for what it was. There's a few, I had to actually relook at my list, because there was a few movies that I knew I really liked from last year for horror.
Yeah, I remember what about you guys? The Lodge was up there for me.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, that was really high for me. Swallow, I don't know if anybody saw that. It was a really quirky, crazy film. But
with Molly Hartley.
Swallow. Every time I ever heard that movie mentioned, like you know, a Facebook post, I was just singing the fucking Bush song, Swallowed. Swallowed.
Yeah, that bitch was like eating batteries and shit.
Well, yeah, like what the fuck? That whole end of that movie, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there was some good mind fuckage last year. That was definitely the higher ones for me.
Matt, do you remember what your number one was for last year?
Like your I think it was, I definitely enjoyed Spell. After watching that, I just loved it. I loved how it all worked out and how the ending played off. It opened up for possibly a sequel. I love the whole backwoods voodoo, hoodoo type thing as well. So I really enjoyed Spell. And I also probably enjoyed The Hunt. People could say that's a horror or not. I consider it a horror. Humans hunting humans. And you get a whole bunch of weird cameos of people that are like, oh, this person's in it. Pfft, they're dead. What?
Yeah, okay. I think that's what bugged me about it. Like, they killed off my girl, like, right away. They killed off my girl right away, so I was like, no!
Yeah.
And then I was just pissed watching the rest of the movie. I'm like, but are they going to bring her back, though? Like, no.
I think you should get that movie another, because, you know, I kind of like that aspect of it, Lacey, because you don't know one's safe at that point.
Well, I did just start watching Glow. Like, I hated the lead actress in Hunt for some reason, but I did start watching Glow, and I think maybe she might grow on me a little bit.
Yeah, I know you're like that with certain actresses. Like,
they have to grow on me. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just didn't like her, like, hillbilliness or something. I don't know. Like, but what was it? What was it that she said? You're dead, bitch, or something. Like, she had, like, that grit to her, and I just didn't like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was pissed that they killed my chick off, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It rubbed me the wrong fucking way. How you get me excited about a film 5 minutes in. I mean, you have Green Arrow from Smallville, Hartley, and you got Emma Roberts, and I'm sorry, I'm spoiling the fucking movie. I don't care. it's been out of here. You guys should have seen it by now.
It's okay.
In my top, so yeah, I definitely seen it several times.
But no,
I was so sad. I was like, I didn't even know she was in this. And then...
Yeah.
It's like, cool.
Yeah, that's like me when I first watched Predators. I'm like, Danny Trejo's in this movie? And then he dies like 5 minutes in the movie. But, yeah. you know, I kind of like that aspect because, you know, no one's safe in that sense. Anybody gets fucked. Oh, go ahead.
Do you guys watch The Masked Singer at all?
I do sometimes. My mom's a big fan of it.
Can I spoil something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I totally did not know this at all watching it. And, like, me and Dan will always be, like, trying to guess who's behind it, obviously. And we're like, we know that voice. We know that voice. Who is it? And it was fucking Danny Trejo.
I heard you.
It was one of the coolest reveals, though, because, like, it was definitely something you don't expect. And I think that's why that show is cool sometimes is, you know, it's you don't always guess it. And I definitely didn't guess him. But, like, once you hear it back, you're like, oh, that's Danny fucking Trejo. But, yeah, no, it was a really cool reveal.
I was good to you, Mikey.
Did he kill it?
Aw. Did he kill it?
Ba-dum-bum.
Mikey. Frozen TV. The guy that treated him the nicest on that fucking place. I'm going to throw a TV in his head. Why not?
Shit, I'm just, like, spoiling shit already. I'm never going to get asked back again. I've spoiled The Masked Singer for people.
It's all good, Lacey. You know, we used to be, like, when we first started, we were like, all right, we're not going to spoil this movie, but we were like, fuck it, we're going to have conversations about this shit. Like, say if it's, like, a brand new movie, we'll try to keep it, like, fucking spoiler. Like, say if it has, like, a twist that we thought was all cool and we don't want to spoil. We would not spoil that for people that want to view the movie. But, you know, if it's, like, fucking an old movie, we don't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah, that's old.
Well, The Hunt is pretty new, though.
Yeah.
It's been out for a year already.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? COVID, and if you haven't fucking seen it by now, that's your problem.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's not a big spoiler that you said that she dies. It's there, but it happens. But like the big spoiler will be at the end with that little twist, which...
Yeah.
That's... That'll be like that. But other than that, like, okay, Emma Roberts is in it. Cool, but she dies. Okay.
Like, within 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here she is. Pop. What? All right.
He goes here for literally 2 seconds.
She has 3 words.
Yeah. It's fun shit like that. You know, that's what I like about it, you know? That's what I like Ron Lacey on, because I know, you know, she thinks of movies like that, and that's kind of the reason why we, like, you know what? I want Lacey on this video game show, because, you know, these are dumb, fun movies in that sense where, you know, some of them are dumber than others. We'll get into it, you know?
Yes, they are.
You know, but I will say up front, all three of these movies are better than the three movies we did last time, guys. House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, and Blood Rain, the Uli Boll trifecta.
Was Blood Rain the one from, like, 2006?
Yes. Which one? Yeah.
Blood Rain.
Like, okay, so I worked at Blockbuster when that movie came out. And, like, people were so pissed when they would bring it back. I had people ask for their money back. And I was just like, well, no, you fucking watched it. You can't have it back. But no, people literally asked for their money back. That's how much they disliked it.
It was actually my favorite watch for the wrong reason. That's my type of bad movie, where if I got wicked shit-faced, I would just die laughing at that movie all day.
That's like when you do a commentary on like a whole Mystery Science Theater 3000 type style. You pop that movie in and just go to town. Just make fun of it left and right.
Be loafing hookers. This is awesome. You know? But Alone in the Dark and, you know, those were like, you know, those ones were rough for me. Christian Slater, like, hey, man, I'm going to fuck Tara Reid. I'm like, okay, Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, the archaeologist Tara Reid.
Yeah, archaeologist Tara Reid.
Well, she was a journalist in Van Wilder.
Yes, she was.
She was an art dealer in Art of the Dead.
And she was half cyborg in most of those Sharknado movies.
Yeah.
Oh, what a career. Going from American Pie to Sharknado.
Fuck. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you know, video game movies, you know, I think the aspect of at least two of these movies, you know, I think the plots of them actually are smart for video game adaptations. There's one that we'll get into where I'm not going to spoil my thoughts on that movie for now. I'm going to save it. But video game movies are hard to make because, you know, we had like the history of them, like with starting off with like Super Mario Brothers, which I actually really enjoy that movie for all the wrong reasons. And, you know, I even said this on the show. How fucked up is that movie predicted the rise of Donald Trump and COVID with King Cooper as Donald Trump and he's surrounded by like this mushroom fungus that was COVID. I actually brought that analogy when watching that. You know, it's kind of weird. He's like, I want my plumbers, you know, it's like fucking funny in that sense. But you know, there's some things I do appreciate about Mario Brothers. It's not a good adaptation of the movie. Well, you can't really do a fucking imagine what a real life live action. How the fuck would you do that?
Yeah, it almost have to be animated, man. I don't know how you could do it live action.
No, I gotta ask you guys. When you play Mario, so now like you can choose like multiple different kind of characters.
Yeah.
Who was your go-to for Super Mario?
Luigi,
me too, really?
Me too, man.
I'm just thinking about his crazy legs in Mario 2.
Oh, yeah. He's got my legs. Man. He can jump out the gym.
Like, he's like... I always chose Princess. Yeah,
that
bitch could float.
Yeah, in Part 2, it's not even fair. You gotta use Princess, pretty much.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Princess is the only character you use in Part 2.
That is the only video game I've ever beaten.
I really like Luigi in like the other games because he jumps higher and he could, in that sense, where You can actually fucking jump to the fucking thing and you don't have to worry about fucking dying.
Yeah. Yeah, Mario 2, you can only use Luigi once to get to that one warp. After that, nope. No more. No more Luigi. Can't stand him with those little legs running back and forth. You're trying to move him and he's gliding. You're like, stop moving, you little fuck. Come on. And you just can't get to him. It's like,
and you're trying to get him to, like, he always goes over where you need him to go. And, like, because you have to go through so many tunnels and, like, little snake pit things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got to fight that pink fucking thing that shoots eggs at you.
Like, why are they shooting eggs? Oh my god, you just sounded just like the game.
I was playing it earlier, that's why.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, on my Switch. You know, I have a Nintendo Online. I did the yearly subscription where you could go on and play some old like NES and Super NES games. And that was one that I checked out. I'm like, you know, I'm going to check. I never use Toad. Toad is the worst, though.
No, for part two?
Yeah.
No. Toad is way better than Luigi and Mario. His fast pickups and his speed? Oh. Love Toad. Between Princess and Toad, I use those two more than the others.
Yeah, maybe I'll give him another chance. Maybe it was just the level I was on.
Yeah, it depends on the level. When you use Toad, there are certain ones where you use him, and he picks things up so quick, it's like, boom, quick, and you're done.
Yeah. Peach is the best to fight the lady that shoots eggs, though.
Now, see, for Mario Kart, I pick Yoshi.
Oh, I'm Bowser guy all the way.
Yeah.
I like being bad. I'm bad all the time in fucking Super Smash Brothers. Bowser just fucking body slamming Kirby. It's amazing. By the way, spoiler alert, Kirby's the main character if you play story mode of the Super Smash Brothers, the new one. It's pretty awesome. And it makes sense because Kirby's special abilities, he could actually absorb the other character's special power. Like, say if you absorb Link, you actually get a fucking sword. And it wears a little green hat, like, you know, it's fucking great. And I like that aspect because it makes sense because he could absorb all the other characters' powers, and that makes sense. He would be the main character.
So he's like an Alice Johnson from Nightmare 4.
He is Alice Johnson. He's the Dream Master, yo.
Nice, nice analogy.
Except Kirby doesn't have a little electric zapping machine, spike bracelets, and a kung fu wrist headband.
Well, he does. He actually does if you absorb Samus.
Nice.
Oh, it's funny when he absorbs like Zero Suit Samus because he gets her ponytail. It's fucking. Samus is actually my favorite video game character ever because she's a very important character for video games because she was kind of like the first female video game character for Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
You didn't know until you find out, until you beat the game, that she was a female, too.
Yeah. Which is badass in that sense, where you're like, you were playing as a chick the whole time. Did you ever play Metroid, Lacey?
No, I have no idea what you're saying. It's, like, foreign to me right now.
It's kind of like a sci-fi, like, shoot-em game where you fight aliens, and you either fight, like, these evil aliens called Metroids, or it's like these giant brain things, and you play as this
character. On a brain.
Yeah, where you play as this character named Samus, which you don't know it's a female until the end of the game, but she's wearing like this biotech bodysuit where she could actually like turn into like a little rolling ball and shoot mines, and she has like a blaster hand. It's kind of cool. It's kind of hard if you play. The Super Metroid's pretty fucking hard.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't, like, a huge, huge gamer, but I did play a lot of Mario. I played, like, Super Mario World, like, all the Mario games for NES, for Super Nintendo, I guess. And then I was addicted to Tetris, like, on the Game Boy, the OG Game Boy, and I would literally play that all the time. I was addicted to, like, beating my high score, and that I played it so much. I remember sitting in my 8th grade math class, and I was, like, looking at the floor, and it was, like, all tiled. And it was, like, the pieces were, like, moving. Like, I literally warped my brain, so I had to stop playing. Like, the pieces were fucking moving.
It's like what Guitar Hero does to you if you play it too long.
Yeah.
You start seeing the floor move and shit.
Or if you start hearing that song on the radio, all of a sudden you see the chords in your head.
Yeah, that too.
Yep, I've done that.
I was never good at that game enough to do that.
It depended on the, song for me. If it was like, I remember when they did John the Fisherman by Primus on there. Well, one of them, I forget which volume of guitar. Yeah, but that was my favorite because I actually knew how to play that song on bass. Like, even though I knew it was guitar, but, you know, I knew how to fucking know where the guitar parts came in. So it was kind of cool. Like, do-do-do-do-do. I love fucking Primus, one of my favorite bands ever. But, you know, some of these movies, good segue, are based off of some classic games. Monster Hunter is like a big world-building RPG. Rampage is one of the greatest arcade games of all time. Sonic, one of the greatest games for a other platform of Sega.
Yep.
You know, it was a different thing, and it was the competition of Mario. These are some interesting choices for a fucking show and to do adaptations of. And we're going to talk about them in a second, because Rampage is kind of that aspect of movie watches that we're going to talk about in a second. So I say we just fucking babbling on and hear me babble on. Why don't we take a little break, play the trailer for Rampage, and Matt will be back to introduce that film for you. So stay back right after this.
It's weird. You like hang out with animals more than people.
Yeah, well, animals get me. I rescued George when he was 2 years old. George never would have survived on his own.
He definitely trusts you.
Last night, George was 7 feet and weighed 500 pounds. George, you okay, buddy? You're scared. It's okay. This morning, he's 9 feet, pushing 1,000. What's happening to my friend?
Are you familiar with genetic editing? Changes will be incredibly unpredictable.
Is he the only one?
Oh, you didn't know about the 30-foot wolf?
Hell of a day, huh? Science experiments falling from the sky.
Having George on that plane is a big mistake.
I think we'll be all right.
Let's go save the world. It's coming back to me. Coming back. You have to evacuate Chicago. George didn't ask for this. They're gonna put him down. That's not happening. Just thinking, the only thing that's missing right now is a giant crocodile.
Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed the trailer for Rampage from 2018, directed by Brad Peyton. Pretty much, when three different animals become infected with a dangerous pathogen, a primologist and a genetical team up to stop them from destroying Chicago. Now, this is, of course, based on the Atari game called Rampage. Same characters, you had a giant gorilla, a giant lizard, and a giant wolf. And, of course, they actually brought those into this film to make it almost like a kaiju-esque type movie, which I thought was awesome.
Oh,
Did you know, guys, that Uwe Boll had a problem with this movie, too? Since it's a tie-in from the last show we did?
I did not.
What did he say?
He actually was going to sue the company because of the title. Because he had his Rampage movies coming out.
Oh, yeah, the action movies.
Yep. And he wanted the name change. It's like, hello, it's based on a video game called Rampage. And it was way before your movies. So, therefore, he lost. Guess what? Nope.
He's like, fuck, I should have made my own video game Rampage. Imagine what that would look like.
Shit on shit. Shit on a shingle. All right, so let's go with some views here. Lacey, since you're ladies first on the show, what are your thoughts on Rampage?
Like, pre-spoiler thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, this was the first time watch for me. I didn't know how I was going to perceive this. I'd only seen one of these films out of the three that we're going to be discussing, which was Sonic. But so this was a first-time watch, and basically I had thought it was just going to be kind of like any other rock movie that he gets like put into the jungle kind of aspect.
Yeah.
But I mean, he doesn't necessarily make bad films, so I was a bit optimistic. I mean, even if it is kind of a bad film, it's still fun to watch. And, you know, I do have some, you know, funny things once we get to the spoiler section to talk about that I picked up on the film. But overall, I thought it was kind of a fun little popcorn flick. I expected going into it not to really like it. But I thought it was kind of fun and cute, so.
Okay, nice. Fun and cute. That's interesting. Derek.
Well, yeah, because I kind of agree with her that it's fun and cute because
the
Rock's relationship with the George monkey is some of the best stuff in the movie, and I love that aspect of it. And we're going to talk about that more in spoilers, you know, especially like George's backstory. Which I found very interesting. It's a, you know, the thing that this movie does that a lot of like other movies kind of like this don't do, in my opinion. It knows it's a dumb movie. It has a dumb lot of synopsis, but it rolls with it. And, you know, I like that the actors are actually, for the most part, taking it serious. I have a few issues with two of the characters, per se, but we'll get into that in a minute. But I like that, you know, they're taking the film serious. And, you know, they're doing the justice for what they're doing. I like how they change it up from like the original arcade game of Rampage to make a little bit more sense, because this is from the spoiler of the game Rampage. It's three humans that turn into these monsters in the video game, the actual game. I like that they actually made it animal based. They're animals that are mutated with this pathogen, and I like that aspect of it. They do a little spin on it, and you know, my favorite character in this movie is the Jeffrey Dean Morgan character. I like that he's a super fan of the game. He's like, you know, he's like, you know, they named this one Ralph, you know. You know, and I like the a certain reveal of, oh, maybe this will be the bad guy throughout the whole movie. Nope, it's not, you know. Like, the, you know, you were expecting, like, maybe the Rock would fight this dude later on in the movie. Nope, but we'll get into that in a minute. But overall, it's a fun popcorn movie that at least has heart in it, you know. It has a dumb plot and stupid... You know, it's a shut-your-brain-off movie in that sense, but it has a lot of fun moments, you know. So I enjoyed it.
Cool. Debbie?
Yeah, right off the bat, I was like, is this the right movie when it starts off in a space station and shit, and shit's breaking out? Like, that was a pretty cool little intro and just the way it's set up, kind of what's ahead. And, you know, I was kind of just hesitant going into this film, and I'm a huge wrestling fan, big fan of The Rock, but I feel like some of his movies are just kind of stale popcorn movies, which maybe this one can still kind of fall into in some aspects, but I feel like his performance is great, though. He did a good job with interacting with George and their relationship, and like I said, it's kind of heartwarming, man, especially on that aspect. I dug the creatures. The crocodile especially was pretty badass.
Oh, yeah.
Loved how it was reeking through.
Yeah, to me, a lot of the video game movies previous before this were kind of bad. This is like a redemption for me of a video game movie. When it came out, I'm like, wow, finally a video game movie worth watching. It's like, shit, this is great. I love, there's a lot of nods. Have you guys ever played the original Rampage game?
I have, yeah. Oh, yes.
A couple times at an arcade.
A lot of nods were done into this game. Yeah, they changed the whole mutation of human to creature, but that was awesome that they made them into actual creature, like regular animals, get mm-hmm. mutated. Great way to change things around. And the whole bashing of buildings, the fights were great. The use of the military, because the military was in the games as well. Even the whole a nod to one of the other Atari Rampage games. One of the other characters was a giant mutated rat.
Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course they've put that in the beginning.
Right.
I would love to see a prequel, just the rat on the space station going to town on the space station, just like a horror movie in space with the rat.
It did have a different tone. Like, it was really dark. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Lacey, did this movie? I watched the trailers. Like, what the fuck?
Lacey, did you recognize the main actress in the beginning of the movie on the space station?
Not at the back of my mind right now. I watched it a couple days ago.
That's Marley Shelton from Valentine.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize her.
She's a little bit older.
She was also Scream 4.
Yeah.
And she'll be reprising her role in Scream. I always call it Scream 5, but it's Scream.
It's just Scream. I'll hear him call him.
Scream
Man.
No, when you were talking about the rat, all I could picture was, sorry to go back to Super Mario 2, is when, you know, you're throwing the bombs at the the rat, the giant rat.
Yeah. That's a cool, like, cold open for the movie. And, you know, it goes right into it. Now, I'm going to tell you about my weak point of this movie. It's the two main villains of this film. I fucking hate them so much. They are so fucking annoying. The brother especially, they are fucking idiots.
Mm-hmm.
They are the worst part of this movie, in my opinion. They are the stupidest fucking villains of all time.
Well, you know why they put her in a red dress at the end, right?
Yeah, because she looked like the chick that he eats or grabs out the window, right?
Yeah, it's based on the game where the girl's in the window or on the ground. It's they're in red.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Spoiler right there, people. But, again, this is 2018. You probably should have seen it by now.
Yeah. And you know, the whole, I forget the actual character's name, but Joe Maglione is like, he's like the terrorist or like the, what's the word I'm looking for, Deb? He's the guy that they call to do, like, the mission to find the pathogen.
Oh, yeah, it's like the private hired military group. I don't know, like Burke. Militia.
Yeah. Burke. Yeah, you know, when I first watched the movie, I thought he was going to be in it a lot more. And then when fucking Ralph eats him, I'm like, no one's fucking safe in this movie.
Yeah.
No, but I agree with you there, Derek, about the two. I mean, you have Mylan, how do you say her name?
Ackerton.
Yeah, and I mean, all I could think about was, you know, her in Final Girls, and is Betty Davis' eyes just going to start playing at any moment? I was like, no, this can't be the villains of the film, and then, you know, somebody else shows up, and I was like, oh, okay, that's definitely the villain. Okay, I can get behind this now, and then, nope, that's not it.
Yeah, Jack Lacey's character was annoying.
It was so
dumb.
Fucking Plop from The Office.
Yeah.
That's his name. That's what they call him in The Office, is Plop.
Yeah. It was just like, really? And, you know, the whole thing that made me angry with their characters is the FBI was actually fucking believing this bitch. You know, when the FBI is going to the office later, the search phone, she's actually fucking, you know, you should go talk to that Naomi Harris character, who I actually love in the movie. I love Naomi Harris as the main scientist. I like the chemistry she has with The Rock, too, later in the movie. But, it's like, why are you believing this bitch? Look, this bitch is so suspect right now with her red dress on. You know?
But that's how proved that they can be convinced that, you know, I have more power. Go over there. Okay.
I really like, too, that the Jeffrey Dean Morgan character, when he's first introduced, you think he's going to be a dick throughout the whole movie. And, you know, I like that he becomes cool and he helps them later on. You know, I kind of like that aspect where his character kind of changes and helps the two main leads out. You know, I kind of like that aspect. And I like, he's like, us assholes need to stick together, you know.
Save this old cowboy.
Yeah. So, I wish there was a little bit more Lizzie, but I kind of like how they keep her hidden throughout most of the movie. And when she fucking comes at the end of the town, you know, giant crocodile form, it's fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. I love it. Because it's so different from what Lizzie looks like in the game. And it's fucking awesome.
I'd say that Lizzie was my favorite character to play in the Rampage.
Yeah.
In the game. I always picked because I look like a creature from the Black Lagoon. A giant.
But yeah, you know, it's some popcorn fun. You know, there's a little heart in it too where you find out the backstory of George. You kind of feel bad because, you know, he's telling the story because The Rock was like an anti-poacher squad member and he went to go help George's family, but George's mom was getting her hands chopped off of fucking the making the asteroids. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and it actually kind of shows a little bit of it, too. It's like, damn.
Yeah, it's kind of dark in that scene, in a sense, you know? But it really shows their connection. He raised this fucking monkey when he was a baby, you know, in that sense. So you feel for that relationship throughout the movie. And you see it, like, when the first scene you see George, and, you know, they're doing, like, the... I like that they're doing the sign language. He's like, give me the fist pump, and George sticks the middle finger up at him. I fucking die and laugh, and, you know, you see, like, they do this back-to-back. I shouldn't have taught you that, man, you know? It's good shit.
I like the fight scenes, too. The fight scenes were great when they're battling on the rooftops and throwing each other against buildings.
Yeah. You know, this. You know, yeah, that you know, my favorite is there's some unbelievable shit, too. Like, we're just going to fucking land this... You know, when they get back in the helicopter on top of the roof and fucking they're like, how are we going to fly? This has no tail. We're not flying. We're going to crash. Like, you know, there's some unbelievable, like, shut your brain off shit where you got to show you how these 2 seconds have hived this building fall, you know. But, you know.
Or when the plane is about to, like, go up in, like, complete flames and he just grabs Jeffrey Dean Morgan even though he's a fucking asshole and... He puts a pack on him.
Yeah.
And he was just like, and all of a sudden he's like in the air and he wakes up and goes, oh, what's going on? And he's like, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some of those moments where you're like, you know, but I do like that The Rock actually does get fucking hurt a lot. He actually gets shot in this movie. You know, he's not like action movie Rock where he's just...
Oh, but that scene's so cringe. I think that's the biggest cringe scene of the entire movie is when The Rock gets shot.
Yeah, because you know he's not going to die, but you know...
Never.
Yeah.
Does The Rock ever die in a fucking movie?
Yep.
He has?
Yep. Yeah. That's actually another video game movie.
Which one?
Doom.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Is it like a sad death? Like, do people like get emotional about it?
He's the main villain.
He's the bad guy.
He's a villain in it.
Yeah, he becomes a villain. He's
he's kind of like the Rhodes in like Day of the Dead. He's like the commander, the head of the operation. As the mission goes on, he gets more like unhinged, but then he gets infected also.
Yeah, he gets all crazy and mutated.
Yeah, it's a kind of interesting movie. I actually watched that recently for the other aspect of shows, or I actually did it for my 31 Days of Horror, actually, last year.
Doom's a horror movie?
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sci-fi horror, that type of deal. There's, like, monsters and monsters getting killed, and it has that rapey dude from Halloween 2, Rachel Brake, in it.
The video game definitely is horror. The video game was definitely horror.
Yeah.
Hunting demons in hell.
Not...
That's what he dies in The Mummy Part 2 when he's that bad, genetically CGI'd scorpion creature.
Yeah.
So yeah. Only when he's like a villain,
he died in Ice Spy too, that fucking Steve Carell movie. He actually was the bad guy in that too, spoiler.
He was the bad guy in that one.
And he dies. It's fucking great.
So he's a villain in everything that he dies in.
Pretty much, you know... My favorite Rock movie is the movie Faster, which I actually love that movie. It's kind of like that feel of like an exploitation movie with it, and his character is actually really interesting. You know, it's kind of different from a lot of his movies. It's got a more like revenge exploitation vibe to it. Plus, it has Billy Bob Thornton in it. So, The Rock versus Bad Santa.
I loved the next generation of Jumanji, even though he wasn't my favorite character in that. I think Jack Black's like hit or miss for me, but I think Jack Black stole the show in that film.
I kind of, you know what I liked about all the aspects when they actually, you know, spoiler if you haven't seen any of the Jumanji movies, they do like the body hop and shit in like the second one, where Jack Black could go from being, you know,
the girl to
the black guy to the girl and to the other girl, you know. It's kind of cool in that aspect. He's like, oh my god. And he's like, I'm fucking you, a terrible gravestone, motherfucker. You know? Jesus, what? Yeah, he's pretty good in those. And, you know, I even like The Rock, you know, when he's Danny DeVito. Spencer! Is that you, Spencer? You know, because he's starting to talk like Danny DeVito. It's kind of hilarious. And then the Asian girl does it better. Who are you, Spencer? Aquafina. You know, the Rock's, he's good. You know, he's got a presence. And, you know, I like that about it. He always had a presence when he was a wrestler.
Exactly.
In that sense. And, you know, you always knew he was going to be a big star in that sense. Some of his movies are dumb. This could be labeled as one of them, but it's fun dumb, in my opinion.
It kind of reminded me of, Baywatch a little bit. It reminded me of, like, an adaptation like, you know, the 21 Jump Street or Baywatch that he did.
Yeah.
It had that element of, like, meta, like, we know we're being ridiculous.
Yeah, it definitely has that meta feel, because, like we said, like, the Jeffrey Dean Morgan character is, like, you know, like, the kids on the internet called him Ralph, you know. They're having fun with it, you know, because pretty much the way I took it as is this world actually took place in, like, the world where the Rampage video game actually existed. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan's just a fan, and he just follows the shit, you know. In that sense, where he's like, they called him Ralph based on the video game, yeah. You know, I kind of like that aspect of it. It's kind of having fun with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, the whole battle at the end with The Rock and George versus Ralph and Lizzie, fucking hilarious. When the wolf starts flying, the wolf fucking flies. Of course it does.
Did you guys like the CGI?
Some of the better CGI, and, you know, especially I watched it on the 4K. It looked pretty good, you know. It was kind of noticeable in the wolf a little bit, but, like, George is pretty good for the most part, you know. You know, it looked pretty good for, you know, I've seen a lot of shitty CGI movies, too. So it's kind of hard for me to judge a high-budget CGI over, like, Asylum level CGI in that sense. You know, it's where you could definitely tell a difference in quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind it. You know, it's a little flashy and stuff, but shut your brain off. You know, I don't mind CGI movies as long as it's done well, and I think they did all right for what it was.
Yeah, and I'm more lenient when it comes to the sci-fi, like fantasy world like this, where I think you pretty much have to use some amount of CGI, but I think they could have used a little less, but I expect it as a big popcorn kind of film.
Yeah.
I liked how there was, some dialogue in it. It wasn't just, like, straight, like, action sequence after action sequence, and so you could actually, like, somewhat care about these characters.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, the Naomi Harris character was kind of a mystery of what was going on, where I like that she actually revealed why she's against these two assholes, you know. They put her in fucking jail, and she never got the chance to say goodbye to her brother. It's kind of sad in that sense. Or, you know, you actually get some backstory to these characters to actually care about them enough to make sure they live. Like, the main heroines, I mean, anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some ratings for this. We've 2 out of 10, so Lacey, you go first.
Out of 10. You know, it's obviously not, like, the greatest movie, but it does have its moments. You know, like I said, I liked when Plop dies.
He went plop, that's for sure.
Yes.
Or he plopped on him, I should say.
Well, he's like, all right, kid, you take care, you know. Like, he's, like, so excited that, like, he's being let go. And then he goes outside and... and, yes, he plopped into the center of the earth. But, no, I like that. I just thought that was cheeky and fun. I like the ending where... you have that heartfelt moment, and you don't know if... I mean, I think you can probably assume that he's not dead, but then it really... I feel like they went for it, thinking George is dead. I really feel like they made you believe that, because it prolonged it, and it went on for a really long time, and then all of a sudden you see his hand move, and he was just like, did your hand just move? Your eye is open. You're right, you're looking at me. And he was just like, and then he flips him off, and I just thought it was really fucking cute. Yeah. You know, I'm going to, for what it is, I'm going to go a 6 out of 10.
Okay. Derek.
Yeah, I dig it a lot. You know, it's big, dumb fun. You know, I've seen it a few times now, and I enjoy it. You know, it's a good popcorn movie. I could watch this one pretty regularly, in my opinion. You know, I watch it every time it's on TV, too, because, you know, there's a lot of, like, these movies that, you know, especially we need these movies in this time period we live in. The shut your brain off movie to get yourself out of the real world. I really dig it. I'm going to give it like a 8 out of 10. I really dig it, you know. It's a well-made popcorn movie, but, you know, it's dumb fun. It's my type of dumb fun.
Dubster.
Nice. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be kind of in the middle, you guys. I enjoyed it overall, though. I think it is a fun popcorn film, and I do love... Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character, especially for the opposite side. You know, some of the characters we could have probably done without. We kind of mentioned, touched on those, but I'm coming like a 7 out of 10. I think it's, you know, surprisingly has heart in a shut-your-brain-off film, so that gives it some brownie points.
Yeah.
Me, I loved it. I've watched this several times. Just constantly, just if I get bored, I'll pop this one in. I love the CGI. I love the story. I love the background. Yeah, there's a couple characters you could just didn't need to have. But I go with Derek. I go 8 out of 10 on this one.
Nice. You know, it's fun for what it is. And, you know,
yeah,
all our ratings.
It's a popcorn flick. It's a good little flick.
Yeah, you know, all our ratings are fine for it. You know, it's good shit.
Yeah.
So, we'll be back right after this trailer. And Dubby Doubles will be back with a movie known as Song of the Hedgehog. And we might be having some Wiz Khalifa at the end of this episode.
What the? Go fast.
"20 minutes ago, an energy surge knocked out power across the entire Pacific Northwest. This needs someone who can figure out exactly what we're dealing with."
"You're not suggesting who I think you're suggesting."
"We have no choice."
"What the?
Are you in charge here?"
"Yes, I am."
"No!
I'm
wrong. Wait. I'm in charge.
Allow me to clarify. In a sequentially ranked hierarchy based on level of critical importance, the disparity between us is too vast to quantify. Agent Stone?"
"The doctor thinks you're basic."
"Listen, pal, I don't know if you realize..."
"I'm sorry, Major. What was your name?"
"Benny."
"Nobody cares! SFPD!
Meow? Ah! Come on.
"Okay, pal, I want answers.
Basically, it looks like I'm gonna have to save your planet."
"Oh, is that all you got?"
"No, but thank you for asking."
"Uh-oh.
Whatever this creature is, our job is to secure it, neutralize it, see what makes it tick." "Yeah.
million steps today.
Stay in there and be quiet.
How much longer? I can't breathe in here.
Do you have your child in that bag?
No. I mean, yes, it's a child, but it's not mine.
It's not your child.
It smells like body spray in an old ham sandwich.
What is up, y'all? We are back with the second film of our video game show. And this is from 2020. And it is Sonic the Hedgehog, of course, based on the classic franchise from Sega. Have to admit, I was a huge fan of these. Takes me back. Genesis was the shit, man. But anyways, the simple plot on this is, after discovering a small, blue, fast hedgehog, a small-town police officer must help him defeat an evil genius who wants to do experiments on him. And yeah, so that is the basic plot, man. I really overall just dug how they changed this to make it its own little thing, man, but still stay true to the characters of Sonic. Let's go with Matt first on this one.
Okay. All right. Sonic the Hedgehog. Again, I grew up playing the Sonic games. I actually still have some of my old Sonic games in storage. Love the little blue little guy. But for me, this movie was rough. I had a lot of issues with it. The storyline was kind of eh. I did have some funny moments where I did laugh, like when he was carrying the turtle. I thought that was hysterical. The turtle's all laughing and being like, oh my god, I'm going fast!
Getting peeled that, back.
Yep. Let's go, and goes back to get him. But, I don't know, Sonic was annoying to me. I couldn't deal with it.
Wow. That's surprising, man.
Jim Carrey's character. I know he was trying to be with Robotnik, but it was way too much. It was like him playing the Riddler. Like, the Riddler was supposed to be this... Like, I liked the Riddler, but I didn't like the Riddler in Batman Forever. But with Jim Carrey and Robotnik here, just seemed to be overplayed, overhyped. Like, if you had a kid, this would be a great movie to watch with a kid. Like, if you had your brother, like, your son or your daughter or whatnot, you're trying to get him into it. But me just sitting here watching him going, ugh. Stand still for 5 seconds. Like, someone gave him a Red Bull and he just went to town for the whole entire movie. The CGI was rough.
Wow.
Every time I was looking at Sonic, I kept seeing Chucky from the Child's Play remake for some strange reason. I don't know why, but it was.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't get into this one.
Well, that's a surprising start, man. So, Derek, do you have a differing opinion on this?
I love this fucking movie. It's fucking great. I love all the self-referential things to the whole franchise. Even the Sonic X game, you know. I love the aspect where he actually has, like, a chili dog line from the cartoon series. It's fucking great. And Jim Carrey as Robotnik, I fucking loved it. I just love the aspect where they actually let him be Jim Carrey for once. He actually ad-libbed the whole movie. He didn't go off script at all.
That's cool.
You know, and I just love that this movie is actually Hop. Did you guys ever see Hop?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Easter Bunny movie, and it actually has James Marsden in it, who's in Hop.
That's funny.
It's Hop with Sonic. I like the whole backstory, and it's actually, surprisingly enough, it's actually going to go into the sequel, the whole beginning of the scene with the Knuckles species hunting down Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Where Knuckles is actually going to be in the sequel, and ironically enough, he's going to be voiced by The Rock.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Big fan of Knuckles, man. That was actually one of my favorites, with Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, like, self-referential shit, like, you know, when Robotnik is doing, like, that dance sequence, and the power shuts off for a second, you actually go to his, like, the electrical box, and There's a little thing that on it that says the Beatniks, which were his two robot sidekicks from the cartoon show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I just like the whole aspect where this is Robotnik before he is Eggman. This is like pre-Eggman Robotnik. So
right.
He's kind of like up there and in there and shit, but then he slowly gets more Eggman as the movie progresses to the very end during the mid-credit sequence. And I even love the Jockey XL score. It's one of my favorite scores because it actually incorporates actual music from the video game. You know, like when you hear like the Green Hillsville fucking, you know, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome, yeah. On the piano towards the end.
Yeah, you know, it has some love to it and heart. Actually, the co-writer of this movie, Josh Miller, big podcaster himself. He actually does I forget what it's like. He does a podcast on like actual movies that ideas that weren't fulfilled. Like he did one on like all the Super Mario movies that weren't made. The movies that weren't made. I think that's the name of the podcast. He's the co-host of that, so actually the guy who directed Jarowowski's Dune, that documentary.
Cool.
Yeah, that aspect, he's just a fan, and I love how much they cared about this movie, because they actually redid Sonic's design to look more like the video game version, because if you guys remember the first trailer for this, they tried to make it look kind of creepy and humanoid, and
it looks even worse.
You know, and he actually had teeth, and you know, but you know, I like that. You know, these like people that made this movie cared enough to listen to fans in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And you know, I kind of like that the heart, and you know, all he wants is a fucking friend, and he finally gets one. And I like that they made him a cryptid in this movie. And did you guys actually stay for like the mid credit scene?
Mm-hmm. With Tails?
Yeah, I'm fucking excited. You know, I'm a huge fan. You know, it's a cool way to bring Sonic into the real world, and this movie has a lot of heart and a lot of good characters, in my opinion. I had fun with it.
Lacey, what says you?
I say that I really enjoyed this film as well. It's something that I grew up with. I used to read the comics. I watched the cartoon. You know, my parents bought me the game, the Sega Genesis, for this game. However, I never really got to play it a whole lot because my mom got addicted to it. Like, I'd come home from school and she'd just be like, game out. She's like, I've almost got it beat. So, I mean, it's just kind of like fun memories like that I have. So maybe I'm like overly nostalgic to it because I have those memories. But at the same time, I agree. I think it's awesome that they listened and didn't put out the movie and redid the, you know, they did their fan service. As for the movie itself, Derek's right, it is basically a retelling of, like, another movie, but with other elements added in to make it more Sonic. I was hoping we were going to get to see more of, you know, the world that Sonic is from, because, I mean,
yeah,
that's what every...
Too.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody else, you know, that's what we're used to, seeing, you know, that's what we'd always play, or that he was going to go underwater and have a little bit more of the Sonic music, you know, from the video game, like, dun, 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 like, push the button, but, yeah, you didn't get a whole lot of that in this, and those were my main gripes with the film, because it starts out with his world, and then I never really thought of Sonic as an alien either, and they refer to him as an alien. I get it, he's from another planet, but, like, as I'm playing the games, I never thought of him as, like, a fucking alien. He's a hedgehog, so... But I guess there are no such thing as a blue hedgehog, but, with special ring power abilities. But I thought the rings were a really cool aspect to it. You know, you just throw the ring and you can end up anywhere.
Yeah.
In case of emergency, use only.
I did not like that.
No?
No. That's not the whole point of the ring. Like, I was going from the video game aspect while watching it. Like, the rings weren't portals at all, except for, like, the giant ones that were the portals to the bonus worlds, but that was it. But to actually use them as a teleportation device... Oh, you're pushing it too far. Like, you're ruining all these rings. Like, that was his life force. Like if he collected the rings, he had like unlimited lives pretty much, because if you got hit, you collected your rings, you keep going and keep going, unless you fell down a pit or anything in the game. But I don't know, I did not like the whole portal thing with the rings.
Like, I was expecting him to get hit with the bag and see the, you know, hear that iconic ring.
Yeah.
Once he gets hit. And then, but it would have been cool, like, if you seen, like, a bunch of different portals, like, open up. I mean, they could have did a little bit more with it, but I thought it was kind of creative and cute to have elemented into the story.
I thought it was a more, like, realistic way of doing it, too. Like, every time Sonic fell, he lost the rings. I like that aspect of it. Like, every time he actually got hit or hurt, the rings fell out of his pocket.
But the rings didn't actually, like, fall out, and you don't get that, like, it was just in that bag.
Yeah, but it would be kind of annoying for a live-action movie to actually do that fucking noise over and over again, too.
No, that would be great.
It would stay true to the video game.
Well, it does, too, because actually the whole portal thing, you could actually throw rings in the 3D Sonic game and make portals with them.
True.
So, yeah. You know, so it does borrow a lot from other games from the franchise, too. Yeah, it's whatever.
I also really liked that, you know, he is in, you know, he's going to be leaving the, you know, America or whatever to go live in Mushroom Land because it's not safe. Why does every video game have, like, mushrooms?
I felt like that was a nod to Mario a little bit.
Yeah.
Mushroom Kingdom. I think that was a little slap, but...
There's also actually a world in one of the Sonic games with all mushrooms.
Is that?
Yeah, I think it's in Sonic & Knuckles or Sonic 3, where it's the whole zone is, like, mushroom zone.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool.
They act as, like, teeter-totters. You jump on one end, and you have to quickly jump on the other to get you higher up into the
that is Knuckles. Zone. Yeah, you're up.
I honestly think what this movie is, it's a setup movie for a franchise. Kind of like where we're going to see more of Sonic's world in the sequel because, you know, I think that's what Tails is coming, like the end credits scene proves that because he's going to get him to face Knuckles and his crew. You know, and I hope they have a lot of characters. I hope they have the Platypus from the cartoon show. That'd be amazing. And they have like all the cartoon characters. You know, like his girlfriend there. I forget her name. The pink hedgehog. That'd be fucking cool as shit, you know?
I would have liked to have had Steve Urkel doing the voice, just like he did for the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just always think back, and that's like his voice, kind of like how Chucky's voice is Brad Dourif, like.
Yeah.
Associates sometimes.
Not Mark Hamill. I am your father.
I like the Mark Hamill one, though, but, yeah.
Just to finish up my thought real quick, I liked how he had a bucket list. I thought that was really cute, and when they go to the bar, I don't know, Sonic didn't annoy me. I thought he was endearing, and if I was a little kid, I absolutely would have been completely happy with this film. I think little kids enjoyed it, so I think they did a good job. And I know you didn't like Jim Carrey, but I thought he did a good job. Even though I will admit, he does. I wouldn't say the Riddler. I would say he comes off a little bit more Cable Guy-ish.
Yeah, I was thinking more Cable Guy too.
Like especially when he's doing his dancing and. But I think he played a pretty damn good Robotnik. I think he was mean, and he had some of the best one-liners. You know, like when you think Sonic fucking died, and he's just like, "Come on, are we seriously crying about this?" Like, I don't know. I thought it was cute, and I think he did a really good job.
And the thing I'm gonna love about Robotnik in the sequel, he's actually gonna be wearing like a fat suit, so he's gonna even look more like fucking Robotnik.
I was going to say, I'm so interested to see where the character's going after seeing how they ended it.
That's where awesome. He's just shaving his head like Colonel Kurtz and shit. Like he's and about
his mustache is getting wilder.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Do you think they're going to pick up at them at the never-ending bowl of pasta at Olive Garden?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that Olive Garden shit's kind of cheesy. I'll admit myself. That was kind of cheesy, like, jokes and shit. Yeah, I can see why that would annoy some people, that shit. Because it's... It never ends. Because we're family. do all of God and jokes. But, yeah, it's a fun show. You know, I watched this and I wasn't really expecting much either, too, because I'm like, a Sonic the Hedgehog movie? Come on, how good would this be? Because, you know, I've been burned on fucking another director's movies that we're going to be talking about in fucking a few minutes. But, yeah. I was like, when I watched it for the first time, I watched it with my dad, and we both loved it, you know. My dad usually hates movies like this, too. But, you know, I kind of teared up when Sonic woke up after James Marsden said he was my friend. I was like, aww. Cute. It kind of makes sense why Sonic is the way he is in this movie, because you got to remember, he's fucking by himself for 10 years, you know. So he's like, you know, he's doing like, hey, how you doing? Hey, what are you doing? And talking to himself and shit. So that's why he's so hyperactive and shit. It kind of makes sense for the character to be that way.
Yeah. Did you guys like the slow-mo aspect of it at all, where he speeds up and, like, he's doing all the fun little stuff?
Done the Quicksilver moment?
Yeah, the Quicksilver moment, yeah.
It's been done before. I didn't mind it. You know, it's been done in other movies. You know, it's whatever. I kind of like that, you know, he actually fucking put the bear head on that one dude. It was all right, you know, because it's been done, like, X-Men Days of Future Past done it before, you know. And, you know,
I think it's a nod to his favorite superhero a little bit, too, though, with the Flash.
Yeah. Wow. Could be. You know, there's a lot of slow-mo in fucking that Justice League 4-hour cut.
That there was.
Yeah. Zack Snyder special right there. Yeah.
Well, that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, you know, we kind of went into, like, most of, like, the movie with your thoughts, Lace.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. That's how we do it. It's a, you know, it's a fun movie that, you know, I can see people not liking it, and I can see a lot of people liking it, though, because I like I said, I went into it, like, fucking not expecting much from it at all.
I do like how it kind of builds Sonic origin in the way it does Robotnik a little bit, and how he's kind of discovering his powers, you know, when he's learning how to do the charge blast or whatever.
That was another thing that irritated me, was the whole EMP thing. Like, what is this? And they don't even do the, I call it the Sonic Dash. Never does any of that. I'm like, I love it. That was the iconic.
They missed the boat with some of the sound effects. I will admit that they could have been a perfect place to put in the charge up sound or whatever.
Or even turning into a ball and spinning really fast to actually plow things over.
Well, he did.
But I do like that when he did. Yeah, exactly. The lightning balls and he's taking out the tank or whatever in some of the scenes. Like, that's pretty fucking cool to see it in live action.
Yeah, the thing I kind of like about it, though, is, like I said, it's like a precursor to the video games. This is before the video game storyline. Why would Robotnik actually come to this world and try to make all these animals into robots and use their powers? It kind of makes sense in that aspect where, you know, he discovered, like, this special power and, like, this one fucking quill, and he uses it, and he's like, maybe I could just take over this whole world and use their power to build my fucking evil robots. You know? I kind of like it. It's a precursor film. In a way. You know?
Yeah, I dig it.
Well, let's get into ratings.
All right.
Let's go Derek first on this one.
I really dig this movie a lot. It's a fun family movie. It has a lot of heart in it. A lot of heart in the filmmakers and the people behind it. And the performance. Just some cheesy lines and shit. I'm at a 9. I love it. It's my favorite watch of these.
All right, and let's go, Matt.
All right, this was actually the least of my favorite of the movies. A lot of characters annoyed me. The cop, the second in command there, annoyed me. Just some of the things I don't get. Like, I love Sonic. I love the at the end where they had the movie playing in the Sonic style, the 16-bit playing. That was awesome. I like that. I thought that was a cool nod. I like some of the other nods that they did, but overall, I would pass on this movie. I give this one a 5 out of 10.
Damn.
Yep, sorry.
That's what's up. And Miss Lacey.
You know, this was, it almost made my top 10 last year. It got an honorable mention in my top 10. It didn't make the actual list, but it did get an honorable mention for the year. I thought it was cute, fun, quirky. I'm definitely excited to see a sequel if and when that happens. And yeah, I'm right there with Derek. It's a 9 for me.
Nice. Yeah, I'm not too far from you guys. I feel like this was just the easiest watch of the three. I feel like it flew by. Just kept you invested in the film for the most part. There wasn't a whole lot to the characters and stuff, but it was more of just about the Sonic and Robotnik and their interactions, man. And I just thought it was a fun popcorn flick. I am going like an 8 out of 10 on this.
Nice.
There you go.
Good shit, guys. Wow, that car goes around the corner. You know? But anyways, at that note, I say we take a break and we get into the masterpiece of masterpieces, Monster Hunter. Let's play the trailer and we'll be right back after this.
Get my Hershey bar ready.
Captain, do you have any idea what those markers are?
They look pretty ancient.
The tracks end here.
It's definitely Bravo team.
They don't just disappear.
Where the hell are we?
That lightning, it hit those markers and it took us somewhere.
Guys!
So what? Are we like Guardians of the Galaxy now?
On our six!
Yeah, bro.
This is officially above my pay grade.
I don't care what those creatures are. We destroy them and close the gateway.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm getting us all home.
Everybody, with the final movie of tonight, came out in the fucking great year known as 2020. That was a pun in itself. Monster Hunter, a movie that was only released in theaters. I wonder why. But, this movie is directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who has been on the show before when we did Mortal Kombat, the original Mortal Kombat, with Christopher Lambert. He's directed a lot of video game adaptations, including most of the Resident Evil franchise, which makes sense when we get into this movie. Here's a little plot synopsis. When Lieutenant Artemis and her loyal soldiers are transported to a new world, they engage in a desperate battle for survival against enormous enemies with incredible powers, and an add-on feature film based on the video game by Capcom. Yeah, this stars, of course, Paul W. Anderson's wife, Mila Jovovich, Tony Jaa, and the myth, the man, the legend, Ron Perlman, and his luscious wig hair in this movie. I'll give my fucking thoughts on this movie first. I did not like this movie one bit. It's fucking stupid. I like the monsters. That's probably the only thing I liked. I did not like when Mila Jovovich and shit is like, you know, let's go into this new world. I'm like, that's not how the games work, you know. And then they go back into the Monster Hunter world and, you know, all the characters we met that were supposed to give a shit about die right away. You know, it's like, and then we're, you know, I did kind of like the Tony Jaa character. I like the Mysticism, and, you know, I kind of like some of the back and forth between fucking him and Mila Jovovich. I did not like a lot of the characters in this movie at all. The monster stuff, I dug a lot. Story? There is no fucking story, because the movie has no real fucking ending. I'll just get it out of the way. There's no fucking real ending to this fucking movie. They leave it open for a sequel that will never happen, because they, like, let's release this movie in theaters when there's a fucking pandemic. Fuck this movie. Dubby.
I mean, I'm not that strong with it, but yeah, this was definitely the most tedious watch of the evening for me. I do enjoy some of the battles. Some of the creatures look badass. Some of the scenes are cool, but I think they really missed the ball as far as character development, and it's just hard to really care or get to know these characters. And I mean, they even have plenty of opportunities and dialogue and banter that really just doesn't do much to add to the story or any of their past until really later in the film when it doesn't matter anymore. I was shocked by the cast. It was cool casting. It was awesome to see Tony Jaa in this, but I feel like you missed the boat with him. He could have done some amazing stunts in the action scenes, way more than what he actually did. Yeah, like I said, the casting's interesting, but overall this one just fell short for me.
Lacey.
yeah. I had no knowledge of Monster Hunter. I mean, like, I've heard people talk about it, but, like, I've never played it or anything, so I didn't really have anything to complain or gripe on in that aspect of it, of whether it followed the game or not. But this is not a dialogue-heavy film, and it is literally just pretty much action sequence and sand. It really is. I have so many things to say about that, but I don't know if we're going to go into it more. But yeah, this was interesting in the sense that, like I said, it's not very dialogue heavy, so you basically have to really watch what's going on. There's a lot of cringe moments for me in it, but they're laughable. So in that aspect, I could have somewhat of fun with it. But yeah, I just didn't really care about anybody on screen at all. This was definitely my least favorite out of the three for this show. I did not know that Mila was married to Paul, so I was just like, he must really like her because she's in his Resident Evil films as well. So that was what I was thinking. I didn't know they were married, so that's kind of a fun little fact for me.
Yeah, we were actually joking before I go into Matt's thoughts on the movie. We were actually joking before you when we took the little break that that's like his Sherry Moon zombie.
Yep.
But Matt, what'd you think of the movie, man?
See, I'm reversed. I really liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the monsters that they portrayed. Now, I only played one of the games once on the Wii, and I really wasn't much into the game, but watching the movie, I enjoyed. I love the weaponry that they had, because it was very close to what they used in the game with the giant, big-ass swords made out of bone and that kind of shit. And I liked how they got transported back into their world. Now, this is very similar to Sonic, where Sonic got transported into our world. Now they're getting transported into their world. So it's a whole transportation-type deal. I thought this was done better with the storm and the stones and everything. I did like how they did open up for a sequel, and I hope they do a sequel. It would be nice if they did. If they don't, you know what? For be it. We got a giant monster on the loose. Let's go to town, because that's what it is. It's hunting giant monsters. That's what it's based on. I'd like to the interaction with oh god, what the fuck's his name? It just
oh boy.
Yeah. Ron Perlman. Yeah. The way he looked was goofy, but I did like his interaction with everybody. I got the cool cat sushi creature, which is actually in the game a lot. They had to put that in there. I love the spider monsters were cool. And the interaction between Mila and the other guy was kind of cool because he can't speak English and she does. And they're trying to communicate. They're fighting each other. Then they're trying to get together. Kind of like Enemy Mine was, where they were too warring, but now they're trying to work together to survive. So, yeah, I liked Monster Hunter. I dug it.
Yeah. I just did not like any of these characters at all. Mila Jovovich, it's just, the thing is, I actually wish it just stayed with the Monster Hunters and not add, like, these new characters that weren't in. I wish it was just, like, kind of like Warcraft, the movie, where it's just in that world.
Fuck that movie.
Oh, I love that movie. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, God.
Ron Perlman totally looked like he did when he did Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, he had the same wig. Yeah.
Yeah, it literally looked the same.
Like, less makeup.
he totally embodies that character so well. But it's hard to take him serious because that's all I could think about when I was looking at him. I was like, this is Ron Perlman from the 90s.
Yeah. I just didn't, you know. Yeah, it has like the same thing that happens in Sonic, but unfortunately, they've explained it a lot better in Sonic more than in this movie, unfortunately, because this movie goes into the sequel. And the thing is, I did not like the aspect of it going into the real world, because then it just it was just stupid. You look at these military people just shooting this fucking giant CGI dragon, and then it ends with them killing that dragon, but then another fucking dragon is in, and you know, it sets up like, oh, we're gonna go back and save the world. I thought, okay, maybe this movie will redeem itself, and they actually show it. Nope, it goes right to fucking credits.
No, what's the end line where they're like, well, let's try to survive this, and Mila goes, good call, or something like that, and that's like how it fucking ends. I was like, are you serious?
And the fucking editing of this movie is fucking terrible, because they use the same editor in the last Resident Evil movie. And that editing was fucking terrible. Flash, 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 flash.
I saw his name was Doobie White. Maybe he was enjoying too many doobies while he was editing.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. A lot of the people that worked on the last Resident Evil movie, which I thought was total shit, worked on this movie. And it kind of, you know, when I first saw the movie, I'm like, oh, the Toho logo. This should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Toho hasn't had their name on like a U.S. production since Godzilla 98. Look how that fucking turned out. And then fucking T.I.'s fucking death was fucking hilarious when the little baby. You know, I like the spider sequence a lot, but I also wanted to spend more time with the characters that they develop as our main characters, as in the military people. I wish maybe they got picked off as the movie progressed and not in the first 20 minutes of the movie. You know what I mean?
Emma Roberts them.
Yeah, they Emma.
Classic.
You know, because you wanted to learn more about, like, their characters, too, because, you know, they introduce them as, like, this gun-ho troop, and, you know, then they end up, half of them getting taken out by that giant, I forget the name of the actual monster, they say it a few times, but, you know, it has, like, those giant rhinoceros horns and shit, and then, you know, then the rest of them get taken out by the spiders in the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, one of the cringe parts for me is when, you know, the guy is, like, being overtaken by the monster, and she comes in, and he was like, you gotta go! And it's so bad. It's so, so bad. Like, who said, oh, no, that's an amazing take. We have to use that. Like,
Jess Anderson, he wrote the screenplay.
Oh, my God, it was so bad. Another cringe moment was when, God, it's so stupid. When the dude who looks like Rufio all grown up.
Yeah,
he fucking looked like Rufio all grown up. And she somehow has the ability to bring him back to life. And take him down into the sand, and then, like, all of a sudden they, like, come up out of the sand, and, like, he takes the little defibrillator thing out of him, and he's just like, yeah, I'm alive. Like,
you're welcome.
It's fucking stupid as all hell.
Yeah, it's like that scene in the Evil Dead remake when they MacGyver the girl back to life. You know, it's just some stupid, like, some, I did laugh at a few scenes. I'm not saying I hated a lot of, you know, I'm kind of like more like, fuck this movie, in a sense where they set up for a sequel that probably will never happen. And, you know, I just didn't, you know, I wish I got to know the characters a little bit more. It's kind of tedious in that sense, where I wanted to spend more time with the characters that we were first introduced with. And the thing that I hated, too, is they kill a lot of the iconic monster hunters from the game in the middle of the movie. You know, that's what I didn't also like, is I wish that we spent a little bit more time getting to know those characters, because they disappear halfway through the beginning. They're only in the middle, the beginning of the movie, and the end of the movie. And I wish they were in the movie more, too. I wish it was a little bit bigger in that sense, where we got a little bit more world building with the actual Monster Hunter world, which we did get a little bit of, but I wish there was more of it.
And especially, like, the castle. I'd like to see more of the castle and what they were kind of alluding to.
Yeah, and who that fucking guy was and shit, you know, in that sense. You know, there's a lot. I wish they actually had an actual definite ending of the movie, and they didn't. That's the problem with the movie. For me.
Well, what did you like about it, Matt? I mean, we're sitting here ragging on it, so what is its good qualities?
Again, I like the action sequences. I like the fight scenes, the martial arts scenes between the two duking it out. Again, I like the storyline. I know you guys are ragging on it, but to me, I liked it. I was glued to it. Whereas when I was watching Sonic, I was getting annoyed by a lot of the annoying characters. To me, I didn't find many annoying characters in this.
No characters.
Well, there's characters. There's characters in this, but that's what it is. It's based on this type of game. Where yeah. Sonic, if they took Sonic and put it in the Sonic world and made, like, say, Robotnik in human world, made, like, a portal somewhere. He was working on some kind of super fluid or something and got zapped into the Sonic world. I think I would have liked it a little so much better. But putting Sonic in our world, I hated it. They gave him powers they didn't need. Where in this movie, they got what they have. They have what they came in with. They're the military group. Yeah, they're an elite group dealing with our shit in the world. But now you put them in a world where there's giant monsters involved. Yeah, okay, they're not going to probably last long because they don't know what the fuck they're doing or what these creatures are capable of. You got this giant subterranean Godzilla-looking type of monster that's ripping people apart. Yeah, okay. Guess what? Your super elite group is not going to really go up against it. They probably will die. The same with these weird arachnid-type creatures. These people that are part of this world are used to it. They know how to survive. They know where to hide. Like that one guy, he made this little shack in the middle of this tower, whatever it was, to survive. He knew to be quiet. He knew to be this, that. Because he understands these creatures. Now you put our elite group in there, you know what the fuck they're going to do, and of course they're going to get wiped out. But of course, now you have her, the main character, she's got to be the one to survive to help carry along the whole storyline. And putting the dragons into our world, getting zapped, because that's what this portal is. This portal is between a gap between their world and our world. It's opening because of something that's happening. Yeah, of course creatures are going to come in. And of course, we don't have the military to fight these things. And, of course, this dragon is blowing shit apart, and I was loving it. Like, that one plane that had the radar on it, they're flying along, looks over to the side, and there's this dragon. He's like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden, boom, explosion after explosion. Awesome. So, again.
Yeah, the action scenes were the best part, man. Yeah. Definitely. Especially, like, the dragon was coming down on all the troops and the vehicles and stuff.
Pulling fire.
The way that shot, I mean, I have to say, that's the saving grace is the action, and I think the effects are pretty damn well done in this as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you guys can rag on this one all you want, but I loved it.
Yeah, there's no characters in my opinion. They're all suck.
Better characters than they were in Sonic, trust me.
Oh, I love the deputy in Sonic. He was hilarious. You never seen
the dumb deputy behind the desk?
Yeah, I loved him.
He was
like,
he was a fucking idiot.
Oh,
I just like going.
No, he was more like this. You never seen a blue alien hedgehog fight a robot with a doctor in it? Actual lines in the movie.
Do you guys want to bet that the sequel is that Sonic gets called back to his home planet to, like, save it?
Yeah, I think that's actually what it's going to be. And, you know,
really?
Because I'm. Are they definitely making a sequel to Sonic?
Yeah, it's coming out. It's being in production right now.
Okay, good. So, because I would laugh my ass off if they made a sequel to Monster Hunter and never made a sequel to Sonic. this is great.
It's never going to happen because they were too fucking. You know, because this came out, like, during when the pandemic was so bad. And you're like, we're just going to release it at the theaters. No, like, online streaming option at all. And, you know, that's what fucking killed this movie, too. They didn't give that
timing. Really unfortunate.
March,
right? Huh? The movie came out around in March?
No, December.
Oh, Monster Hunter was in December?
Yeah, it came out, like, in December. Like, I was listening to a bunch of podcasts that were like, why aren't there, like, no streaming? Because no one was going to go to the fucking theater at the time because there was still no fucking vaccine at the time when this movie came out.
Right.
You know? Like, it's fucking. So it kind of cursed itself, not because Sony doesn't do, like, that, you know, that streaming option like a lot of the other companies have been doing with, like, HBO Max or, like, stream same day in theaters. They weren't doing that with these movies because they're like, we're going to make sure the theaters are fucking still striving. But, you know, you got to make your money back somehow. And, you know, they kick themselves in the ass in that sense. And, yeah, I think the movie's fucking terrible. It's awful. I'll get my rating first. It's a fucking 3 out of 10. Fucking terrible. Fucking hated it. Lacey.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you. There was another post-apocalyptic monster movie that came out last year, and it made my top 10, and that was Love and Monsters. So,
yeah, that movie's way better.
And, this one just was not my cup of tea. It didn't have enough dialogue for me, to enjoy it. I didn't care about any of them. I did learn that if you offer your enemy some Hershey chocolate, you will make a friend. So, you know, I have a few enemies out there that I might, you know, be offering a peace offering with some Hershey later. But, yeah, no, this was bad. I for one, didn't even dig the CGI. I thought it looked corny.
Trash fire.
I did not enjoy it at all. I was just, like, I told Dan that I was watching this. He's like, I'm going to give a prediction right now. You're going to fucking hate it. And, I mean, I can laugh at the cringy stuff. That's what made it enjoyable for me to that degree. But, yeah, it's not my kind of movie. It's a 3.
Dubby.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little more in the middle with it. Because the CG didn't bother me, and I thought the way some of the action sequences were filmed actually quite well. I think I had more problem with the setting and location. Like, I would have liked to have seen it take more place in the castle or somewhere else. I think the desert just got tedious after a while, and there's too much of it, that isolation feeling for me or
so
something.
So you're like Hayden Christensen from Star Wars. I don't like sand.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's, yeah, man, I still had my issues with it. I just wish they'd have done a lot more with the characters overall. And right when I was starting to get more invested in the film, that's when it cut off. It's like, I kind of do wish there would have a sequel. I think might have actually enjoyed that a little bit more, but I'm going a 5 out of 10, man. I think it's just a middle of the road for me.
Matt?
I'm total reverse on you guys. I definitely enjoyed it. I liked the story. I liked the CGI. I liked the action. I liked everything about this. I give this one 8 out of 10. I had fun with it. I could watch this again. It definitely has a lot of replay value for me, so 8 out of 10 for me.
And you're not alone. I have seen some, even people in our Facebook group, when he posted about this, they actually liked this film too, so we might be in the minority, guys, on not liking it.
Well, look at this. Like, you guys all love Sonic. I did not. You guys all hated Monster Hunter. I liked it, so it's all reversed. I think that's why I like movies, because we could talk about this. You like one, I might not like the other, and it's reverse.
And nobody's wrong or right. That's what's great about it.
Yeah.
You know, I might watch this again and be like, I need a trash mountain night where I just watch trashy, shitty movies, and I'll throw this on again. I'm not saying I fucking, you know, wouldn't try give it another chance and give it another shot either.
You know? I can tell you straight up, I will never fucking watch that movie ever again.
Especially if I probably won't watch Sonic again. Only if, like, my younger nephews will want to watch it, then I'll probably sit there and watch it. But I'll probably be playing on my phone the whole entire time because I can't stand the Red Bull-infused lightning-charged Sonic. Okay. Makes no sense. I can make an EMP pulse, turn off all the power. All right. Why did he do that in the video game? Oh, he can't.
Well, you got to remember, too, I mean, he might have different powers in the human world. They never really explored that. I'm just saying.
Be in the human world.
Yeah. Well, Mila Jovovich shouldn't be in movies. Singing fucking zombie songs.
Maybe in Monster Hunter, she'll fight zombies, too. Maybe like, I remember this.
Maybe she'll fight Ron Perlman's wig.
Monster Hunter versus Resident Evil.
I would have liked to see the wig get torched.
Imagine like the wig just is the bad guy the whole time, and it just comes off his head, and he's bald, and it
like
fights.
The desert wind blew it off.
Yeah.
And then you just see it like drifting off into the sand, like tumbleweed.
I did. There was one joke that I did laugh in Monster Hunter when the fur ball was inside his mug. You've been looking out of my mug again? The fucking cat fucking creature. That thing was creepy. It looked like it wanted to fuck Mila Jovovich. It had rapey eye.
Wow.
That's right.
Maybe the cat wanted some pussy. Oh!
Oh! Bada bing, bada boom, baby boom. All right. Well, that was the video game show. That was fun. You know, we had a lot of interesting moments that happened. Lacey, it was a long time coming. I'm glad you had fun on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
You had a ball having you. It was fun. You know, you made some jokes.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. You gave me a new nickname for Dubby, Hayden Christensen.
There we go.
I hate sand.
Add another one to the list.
So, do you have anything coming up? New shows? I think we talked about it in the intro, but remind the listeners what's coming in the future for your shows that are coming out, Lacey.
I got the Slumber Party Massacre episode 3. It's a prank-filled episode where the first segment is we're talking about some pranks, and I prank the girls. That's fun. And then we discussed top 10 final guys, and then the feature review of House of Sorority Row. That will be coming out later this month. Then I just released a bonus for Skip to the Loo, commentary on 21 Jump Street, and we got pretty good feedback on that, so we're actually going to do 22 Jump Street next week. And then we have Rope with Mr. Venom. Oh, I probably shouldn't have spoiled that because...
Is it coming out next week?
It'll be out this week sometime, but yeah, it's a mystery guess. But
You'll beat this before you get this out.
Yeah, you'll beat it before this one, don't worry.
Yeah, so it's a mystery guest, and yeah, it's Mr. Venom, spoiler. And then I have a roundtable with Wayne Reed, and then I did an interview with... Mallory Betchel, who was in briefly in Hereditary. I did an interview with her that will be coming out on Skip to the Loo as well.
Awesome.
Nice. And, you know, a little sideway. We actually had some ideas for future episodes of They're Here. We're going to get that show back up and running, Lacey.
Yeah, I want to fucking do Serial Mom.
We got to do it. We'll plan something out after the show. We'll text each other. How's that?
Okay. All right, you hit up my DMs.
Damn. Yeah, hell yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
No problem. That's my sister from another mother, or daddy, Mr. or whatever.
Mr. Daddy?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, then.
I don't know. I got the saying wrong. You know that. But, you know, she's my sister from another mister. Yeah. And we got to get Dan on sometime. We got to get Dan on the
show. Yeah, no, he was upset. He was like, you know what? He's like, you're not going on. I'm just going to pop up on the computer, and they're going to get me. And I was like, but you didn't watch any of the movies. He's like, I don't care. I can phone that shit in.
I have an idea of a show for Dan, and I want to run it by him personally. And I think, because you did a certain show with 22 Shots a while back. How about Dan does Scream with us?
Oh, well, we are actually, I can't tell you.
Okay, well, we'll cut all that stuff out, but, you know, we'll plan something out, and, you know, we'll get Dan on a certain show. I'll run a few ideas by him, what show he wants to do, and see what he says, but we'll definitely got to get Dan on an episode, and then we'll get both of you guys on another episode. We'll do, like, a cross breed, and we'll just talk shit about movies.
Cut to the cinema attack.
Exactly.
Nice.
No, you guys are a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. You
thank
know.
You. Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Good
hopefully
stuff.
Hopefully I did your show justice.
You did.
I was a little nervous because I was like, I'm not the video game girl, but I did enjoy the movies for what they were.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I like. I try to break people out of their realm of stuff that they wouldn't actually check out. That's how I usually pick the guests for the episodes, where, you know, I'll pick, like, a movie that maybe they wouldn't have, like, an idea of, like, what they would normally watch and get their opinions on it. I like that aspect of it, and, you know, it brings different flavors to the reviews.
Yeah,
but I say we get out of here like a rubber band, man. Spoiler alert for what's playing at the end of this show. And we're going to get out of here. Check us out on the Dark Discussions Network, and we'll catch you next time. Peace out.
Peace. Later, guys.
David Banner. Hey, you know your folk be staying down on the road, man. Rolling all the way from Florida, MIA, on up to Duval, on up to Tennessee. A lot of the real niggas be showing love, you know what I'm saying? I really appreciate that. All the dope boys be coming out, all the homegirls be showing love. But a lot of folk, man, they still be looking like they don't know who I'm here. So let me tell them who I'm here. Rubber band, man, wild as a Taliban. 9 in my right, 45 in my other hand. I'm in trouble, man, I always in trouble, man. I'm worth a couple hundred grand. Shannon's all colors, man. I'm a rubber band, man, like a one-man band. Treat these niggas like the Apollo and I'm the fan, man. Told 100 grand, cannon in the waistband. Looking for a sweet lick, well, this is the wrong place, man. Every time telling what I care about a case, man. I'm campaigning to bear in the hate, so say your grace, hey, man. I don't talk behind a nigga back, I say it in his face. I'm a thoroughbred nigga, I don't fake it, I don't hate. Check my resume, nigga, my record's impeccable. I'm anywhere in the A, nigga, check the tide of respect. And it's MIA, nigga. I'm trying to keep it professional. Cause all this tongue wrestling finna have me snapping. I'm standing from the bottom up the Duval. Pack a lacket and New York. And everybody showing me, Lord, it's when the you all. Yeah, all my Florida nigga, my Cackalacka nigga, my LA nigga, my New York nigga, New Orleans. Hey, who I love y'all. Rubber band, man, wild as a Taliban. 9 in my right, 45 in my other hand. I'm in trouble, man, I always in trouble, man. I'm worth a couple hundred grand. Shannon's all colors, man. Rubber band, man, wild as a Taliban. 9 in my right, 45 in my other hand. I'm in trouble, man, I always in trouble, man. Worth a couple hundred grand. Shannon's I'm in trouble, man. Stayed in some trouble, man. Some niggas still hating on shouters, but they some suckers, man. Got a couple fans that love to do nothing other than mix up, show nuts, hey, but still I love a man. Dig it, little pimpin', got the mind and the muscle. Stay down on his grind, put the crown on the heart. Hey, I can show you how to juggle anything and make it dull. We blow real estate, liquor store with no trouble. Your cash is play on my day and Marvin Gaye on my time. Trying to stay alive, living how I say in my rhyme. My cousin used to tell me take the shit a day at a time. He told me Friday died, Sunday Wednesday in the prime. I see a smile cause somehow I know he's seeing me now. So I'm doing all my shows just like he in the crowd. Hey, throw your lighters up for my cousin too. Rest in peace, y'all. Left eye, we jam out to Jay. Now who I mean? Rubber band, man. Wild as a Taliban. 9 in my right, 45 in my other hand. Hey, who I mean? I'm in trouble, man. I always in trouble, man. Worth a couple hundred grand. Shannon's all colors, man. Rubber band, man. Wild as a Taliban. 9 in my right, 45.
trouble, man. I always in trouble, man. Worth a couple hundred grand. Standing tall, colors, man. I'm a grand hustle, man. More hustles than hustle, man. But why the rubber band? They representing the struggle, man. And my vocal trash till they come up with another plan. Sack a couple grand to get their stuff off their mama land. Gangsters who've been serving since you was doing the running, man. Went down, did 10, back round and rich again. That's why I'm young with the soul of an old man. I'm shell shocked, get shot, slow your roll, man. Still ride around with the Glock on patrol, man. Nah, I ain't robbing, I'm just looking for the troll, man. For my niggas slaying blow, pimping hoe, rolling bowl, 24. Let these other niggas know who I'm in. Rubber band, man, wild as the Taliban. 9 in my right, 45 in my other hand. I'm in trouble, man, I always in trouble, man. Worth a couple hundred grand, shining all colors, man. Rubber band, man, wild as the Taliban. 9 in my right, 45 in my other hand. I'm in trouble, man, I always in trouble, man. Worth a couple hundred grand.